Good morning, church family. Kiddos are dismissed for kids' praise. So my name is Lizzie Johnson. If you haven't met me yet, I am the Director of Student Ministries here, and I had the immense honor, along with several other adult leaders, to take 26 students to Arlington, Texas this summer on a mission trip. We worked with an organization called Mission Arlington. And it was founded by a longtime missionary, Tilly Bergen, and her husband. Tilly is on the far left. She is 89 years old, and she preaches weekly and works full-time and wears a pantsuit every single day in Texas heat. She had been a missionary in Korea with her husband for years and came back stateside to finish with their time. And she couldn't ignore this thought: if we could do missions in Korea, why can't we do missions in Arlington? Tilly and her closest friends began to pray, and they prayed for 7 years until they felt like they had the go-ahead. And on August 1st, 1986, Mission Arlington began. It started with a Bible study in an apartment complex, and now consists of multiple church plants, Bible studies, a medical clinic, a dental clinic, a warehouse full of resources for low-income needs, sports clinics, homeless community support, Celebrate Recovery programs. And during the summer, they run VBSs multiple times a day, all summer long, hosting different youth groups like ours all summer long. And the students are going to touch on that a little bit more later. What I wanted to share on today is the Bible verse that our students taught throughout their VBS time that ran all week long. Acts 1:8. It's a seemingly simple verse, but really so powerful and so inspiring. Our teenagers went there to share with these little kiddos on how to be brave and how to love Jesus, and they'll then tell anyone and everyone about him. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is a passing of the torch moment from Jesus to his followers. It's a charge and a call and a vision of kingdom work ahead. So we're going to break this down very quickly. First off, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive power. We do not buy or earn the Holy Spirit's power or prove that we are worthy of it. We are given the Holy Spirit, and that power is never of our own doing. Never has been, never will be. We must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, the helper, to do the transformative work of the gospel. We need the Spirit to guide our words, when to speak, when not to speak, what to say, and how to share in grace and in truth. It is not possible to effectively share the gospel without the power of the Holy Spirit. There is an equipping done in our hearts and in our lives when we walk in step with the Spirit, when we lean in. There's a divine enablement of the mission ahead. Next, and you will be my witnesses. This instruction and privilege to be a witness is not just sharing the testimony of Jesus, but we get to live it out. To bear witness is not subject to just one singular event, but an ongoing of our daily lives, reflecting Christ's teaching in every aspect. Witnessing through our actions and through our words and even our attitudes. So what does that look like? Jeremy touched on this last week. It can look like simple acts of kindness. It can look like patience while you're waiting in line with all your children at this self-checkout place at Walmart, which is not easy to do. How we talk about people who are going through divorce, going through a financial strain, are struggling to parent their teenagers in grace and in truth. We talk about them with compassion and not cynicism. How we talk about our fellow church friends when they maybe choose to attend a different church. Or we have friends who choose to parent, who choose to send their kids to different schools than what they would choose. We engage in those friendships in grace and in truth and compassion. walking and talking by the Spirit with the fruit that's evident in our lives of the Spirit being there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Giving thanks in all that we're doing, submitting to one another in love, outdoing each other in love and good deeds. All of these things as being a witness of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, not on our own strength. And that's how it's supposed to be. These students are not going to get up here and boast about everything that they did perfectly and that they went to Arlington and now they did all of these good deeds and now they've secured their spot in heaven. That's not what it is at all. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power might rest on me." What an honor it is to be used by God and to declare the gospel, to live our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him, to be a witness by how we're loving others, engaging in genuine conversations that can point others to Christ in our life. And grace abounds when we slip up and we make a mistake, because we definitely will. We will definitely get it wrong. When we lose our temper, when we say something we didn't, because we all know that happens daily, when we're barking at our kids on the ride to church because they can't find their shoes, definitely been there, done that. Praise God that His power is made perfect in our weakness. Then there's one last portion I want to touch on here in this verse. "You'll be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." Different locations are noted here, and these locations would hold different meaning for the disciples, emphasizing the need for the gospel to be lived out and shared in different locations and different avenues, not just when it's easy or when it's comfortable or even always received well. We should be living out our witness for Christ here at church with our friends and fellow believers or those who are seeking the Lord. But that also means that we're a witness in our own homes. Even sharing Jesus with our kids might still feel kind of weird or fumbly. Sometimes I just think, oh, why can't Tiffany do it? Why can't Amy do it? They're so much better with kids than I am. Because we are our parents, and it is our privilege to disciple our children. It might be when you are having an argument with somebody and the follow-up and allowing God to work through you when you say, "I am sorry, I made a mistake. Will you forgive me?" And people around you can see that, which is so humbling. We are a witness at our workplaces. You don't have to be in paid full-time ministry to be witnessing where you're at. Where God has you is where you are witnessing. In the workplace, when you are training somebody new and they're just not picking up on it as quickly as you would like. Or how you engage with a coworker of the opposite sex if you are married. Still honoring your spouse wherever that might be in the workplace, and how you engage with people you work with. How we choose to keep things confidential if another person tells you something that is a struggle or going on in their life and they ask for prayer. And you pray for them and you tuck that away in your heart and keep it confidential instead of gossiping about it. We actually pray when we tell people, "I'm going to pray for you." Pray for them. Don't just say it. How we pray for our kids' teachers and their support systems when they're at school. We go to them if there is conflict or concerns instead of going to the Facebook and blasting the school system. We show support and we handle conflict well, all of this shows our witness to Jesus. How we use our words and share our own story of, man, what God is doing in my life, where God is moving in my life and in the world around me. Asking people questions, seeking first to understand and then be understood. The way these students, your kids, were a witness for Jesus in Arlington was incredible to see. They fumbled through their words. They were nervous at first. They had to knock on a bunch of doors. They tried to speak Spanish to these little kiddos. They were nervous about trying to remember names and who was related to who. Some of these kiddos showed up dirty or smelled bad or cussed at our students because cussing is a normal way of speaking in their own homes. Or they knew absolutely nothing about Jesus or the Bible. These students needed the Holy Spirit each and every moment because this wasn't just a hard trip for them physically, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually. This was a hard trip. And God showed up every single day, every single moment, sustaining these students. We are trusting that God has started a work down in Arlington long before we got there, and he will continue to work long after we're gone. We were there 1 week, planting seeds, sharing the gospel, handing out Bibles to kiddos, some of them who had never seen one before. Aaron Glendening told the students to never underestimate the power of putting a Bible in someone's hands, that you can actually create generational life change by giving a kid a Bible and exposing them to God's truth. So I'm going to bring all the students up here now. Come on up. And you're going to be able to put some names with faces. And they're going to talk a bit more about what that week looked like. And I want to challenge you all who are here to think about, how is my witness? What does it look like? How am I witnessing for Jesus in my home, in my workplace? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to lead or to guide my words and my attitudes? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to pass the mic over, and our students are going to share. Jesus, thank you. That's all we can say to you is thank you. Thank you for this trip. Thank you for this church and their support. May you be the glory. Amen.
My name's Hunter Elric. I'm a junior, and my favorite part about the mission trip was doing VBS with all the kids.
My name is Hayden Sheck. I'm a junior, and my favorite part was the worship sessions throughout the VBS and in the evening.
My name is Sage Kaufman, and I'm a junior. And definitely one of my favorite things was leading the little kids in VBS and seeing their confidence grow like throughout the week as they sing along more and dance around, had a good time with us.
I'm Olivia Brunk. I'm a sophomore, and my favorite thing of the week was seeing God work through all the little kids and all of us.
I'm Sophie Iyer. I'm a junior, and my favorite part was building a relationship with all of the kids.
I'm Roxy Riedel. I'm a junior, and my favorite part was getting to write notes for the kids at the end of the week.
I'm Izzy Weedle. I'm a senior, and my favorite part was seeing how the Lord really knit us all together and gave us unity in our group.
My name is Emma Glendening. I'm a senior, and my favorite thing about this trip was seeing how God was working not only through us, but also through the kids.
My name is Jaina Bauer. I'm a junior, and my favorite part was getting to connect with the kids and just getting to watch them be kids.
I'm Gracie Bonenblest. I'm a sophomore, and my favorite part was seeing how we could connect with the kids that didn't speak the same language as us and just seeing God work through that.
I'm Obadiah Stevenson. I'm a sophomore, and my favorite part was just watching the kids' faces light up when we got to go hang out with them.
My name is Violet Kaufman. I am a freshman, and my favorite part was probably playing Pato Pato Gonzo with all the kids, which is Duck Duck Goose, but in Spanish.
I'm Sophie Bays. I'm a junior, and my favorite memory from the trip was just building relationships with the kids.
I'm Haven Bauer. I'm a sophomore, and my favorite part of the mission trip was doing the different VBSs with the kids and building relationships with all of them.
I'm Mackenzie Melva. I'm a junior. My favorite part was when we had an impact on the kids, but they also had an impact on us.
My name is Cameron Ryan, and I'm a junior, and my favorite part was the late night worship sessions in the church.
My name is Ben Bonenblus, and I'm a senior, and my favorite part was the worship sessions we had every evening.
All right, well, good morning, church. As you heard, my name is Ben Bonenblust, and I'm very thankful that I got to go on this trip, and I also really appreciate all the leaders who took a week out of their lives to come and just mentor us and lead us over the course of the week. A great shout out to Mallory and Aaron Roberts, who were our youth leaders for the group that I was in. They were amazing. They just helped us through everything and anything we needed. They were right there and helping us along or helping lead a group. I saw God work in all the people that were in our group, both kids and leaders, with going out of their comfort zones, going door to door in some sketchy apartments where you didn't know what you would see, where some kids maybe didn't have furniture in their homes or no parents were home and five-year-olds were answering the door. But God taught me over the course of the week that the little things matter. Taking time and really giving your all into these kids and just showing that you want to be there and not like this is just a mission trip where my church came. You really want to learn and hear them on a personal level. Something impactful was that the kids really do enjoy getting to know you and becoming friends. I was able to hang out with probably four or five of the guys in our first VBS, and pretty much the entire time all we did was play basketball, or we sat on the stairs and they would show me random videos or just talk for 30, 45 minutes, and just being able to see them and learn about them and hear their stories and just talk through that or talk with them through different struggles that they were going with was really impactful and something that I will definitely remember and cherish for a while. Thank you.
Good morning, church. If you forgot, my name's Izzy. It was really hard to pick just one thing to share about, but I decided to stick to sharing about the music aspect and its impact on me. My job was to lead the worship portion of the VBS sessions each day with Sage and Josh, and this was one thing that I was really nervous about because the first time we practiced these songs was the night before the first day. It was so cool, though, to see how the kids lit up when Josh started playing his guitar and they got to do the actions with me and Sage. They wanted to be right up there strumming and leading alongside of us. So even though we didn't have a lot of prep time, and Sage and I didn't know Josh or if he could even play the guitar before starting the week, the Lord made it all come together to bless the kids and us. Looking back, I see how God truly wove everything together exactly how it was supposed to go. We were even able to learn the song This Is the Day in Spanish, so the children in the evening VBS who knew very little English would be able to sing with us and know what we were saying. We noticed that they wanted to be involved with the actions, but they didn't know what anything meant, so we sat down one night and just practiced the lyrics over and over again. We even got to the point where the kids caught on and almost led the songs themselves. That was a really special moment to see them love the songs and give us grace through our rough Spanish and communication with Google Translate. I also never thought that I would have as much fun playing endless rounds of Duck Duck Goose and soccer with the future Messies, but the Lord provided a way for us to love on the kids and build relationships with them, even if speaking to them wasn't very easy. The last thing I want to talk about is the opportunity that we had to grow together as a group. We just sat on the floor in our host church's fellowship hall and worshiped for hours together. We would throw out songs we wanted to do, and Hayden, Ben, and Josh would just lead us while playing their guitars. It was so fun how the longer we sat, the more people joined our circle, and we would stay there until Lizzie told us to go to bed that night. It even carried into singing on the walks to the shower trailer and into the showers for some other people. It was so fun to see how even though we were there to serve the Lord and bless the kids with VBS, the Lord wanted to bless us through our act of worshiping him. I didn't expect to sing that much all week, but it turned out to be just what I needed. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that the Lord had much more in store for me than I thought, and it turned out to come through something that I already love, which is the gift of music.
When I left for the mission trip, I was honestly a little scared and nervous. I didn't know what to expect from this being my first big mission trip with our high school group. We started out our day in hot Texas with VBS in the morning, a project in the afternoon, and another VBS in the evening. Even through our busy days, this trip was truly amazing, and the kids were great. All the people we worked with were really nice. I kept having this feeling that I was changing or that I was changing someone. That was when we went into our second VBS. I was ready to start games, and I saw three young boys running across the street to the park where we were at. These kids mainly spoke Spanish. There was Fernando, his friend Axel, and Fernando's younger brother, Ozzy. While everyone else was knocking on the doors to see if others wanted to join us, I stayed back and played soccer with these kids. I asked them, "Hola, ¿cómo te llamas?" which means, "Hello, what is your name?" Ozzy's face had the biggest grin when he heard me speak Spanish, and we connected. Over the next few days, I tried to hang out with Ozzy and his friends as much as possible and try to slow down the time. I played soccer, taught them stories in Spanish, and we sang songs. All that fun eventually had to come to an end on our last day at Mission Arlington. VBS was over. Jonas and I had to take the boys home. Axel went inside, but Ozzy and Fernando wanted to keep playing, so we continued to play a little longer. Then Ozzy hugged me and said, "Adios, mejor amigo," which means bye, best friend. I was so surprised and happy, but that happiness and laughter turned into sadness. We realized we had to leave. We packed into the van and started to head out. As we were leaving, we watched Ozzy and his brother waving to us. It was really sad for me, and it took me that evening to realize that I was changing him. A few of our other Countryside youth members spotted how I was with Ozzy and shared at the brief time how that moment changed us both. I was happy for 5-year-old Ozzy, a kid who I thought would never make a big impact on me like he did. This week was really amazing, and I enjoyed the trip for so many reasons and learned so much. Thank you all for your support of our mission trip.
Hey, y'all. My name's Emma, if you already forgot. And I was also on the mission trip, if you hadn't guessed it. And I went into this mission trip expecting to see, you know, these kids by the end of the week be like, "Oh my gosh, I love Jesus. I accepted him as my Savior." And I expected, you know, to see groups of prayer and this giant transformation of these kids. But instead, I saw kids collecting beer bottle caps for fun. And I smelled one of the most disgusting smells I've ever had in my life, and I'm okay if I never smell that again. For those of you who know, you know. I saw empty apartments with no furniture. I saw young kids, 5 to 7, answering doors, taking care of their 3-year-old siblings. I saw a language barrier. I saw kids hesitant to come up because they had done this VBS before. They had met people, they became friends, and then those friends went away. So they were, of course, hesitant, as I would be too. I saw kids who were broken. They didn't talk. I heard 3-year-olds throwing around F-bombs, and that's never something that you want to see, and it absolutely breaks your heart. But I also saw kids who really, really wanted to know Jesus. And while I personally didn't get to pray the Lord's Prayer with anyone, help them accept Jesus, we did hand out several Bibles. And for a lot of these kids, they were the only books that they had ever owned. I remember I was given this little boy named Isaiah this Bible. And he said, "This is my first book. We don't have any books in my house." And I was flabbergasted, would be the right word, because I personally love books. I've got a huge bookshelf. And hearing that that's a resource that these kids don't have is insane to me. And I also saw people use Google Translate to be able to communicate with these kids who didn't speak our language. And I saw these kids light up with joy when they realized that we were really trying hard. And I saw a group of teenage girls learn how to do the church clap. And I saw one of the grandma of the complexes teach us how to dance. And that was something. And something that went through my mind most of the week was, God, why the heck would you do this to these kids? They're in a place where they have no control of their surroundings. They have parents leaving for hours on end. There's cigarette butts everywhere, beer bottles, litter everywhere. Why would you let these small kids suffer this way? But these kids showed me what God was doing. The joy in each one of the smiles that I saw really changed my life. And one story that absolutely broke me was the same little boy, Isaiah. The last day that we were there, he goes up to me and he goes, I'm going to see you tomorrow, right? And I said, no, buddy, I got to go home. And he said, you're going to visit me, right? I said, I live 6 hours away, so I don't know if we'll ever see each other again. And his eyes start to fill with tears, and he goes, well, can you take me with you? I want to come home with you. And I said, no, buddy, I'm sorry, I can't. And he goes, well, can you stay with me? Please, please, just stay with me. And that absolutely broke me. But I walked him home, and now as I was walking out, he opens up the doors, and he said, bye, I love you. And a piece of me is still with him. But we did plant a seed there, and that is something that I will forever remember, is seeing God use us to plant the seeds in these small children. And I just want to thank the leaders who came with us. The impact that you guys had on us is amazing. And the energy that especially Mallory brought was insane. She kept it up. She was going. We had a VBS and a work project and then a VBS, and we were all tired, exhausted, but everyone's energy was up, and they all kept looking forward to the time where we could see these kids and to where we could just bring the smiles to their face. And I'm just so, so thankful I got to go. And I know everyone here that got to go feels the same way. So to end, I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. If the worship team wants to come up, would you bow your heads with me? God, I thank you so, so much for today, and I thank you for your wonder-working power, and I thank you for the time that we got to go and share your love with these kids, and I pray that you just continue to work through us, God, and I pray that we just be the lights that that this world needs, and I pray that we just have unendless love, God, and I pray that the Holy Spirit works through each one of us so that we can be your witnesses throughout this whole world. And I just pray that we go throughout this week knowing that it's all for you. Amen.
Thank you guys so much for sharing. And a huge thank you to Lizzie for organizing it and putting it all together and leading them through this amazing mission trip.